fact, 29% of Americans report having been diagnosed with depression during their lifetime. Fact, depression increases during perimenopause. Fact, when hormone therapy prescriptions went down in 2002, antidepressant prescriptions surged. Fact, it's twice as likely for a midlife woman to take an antidepressant as a man. Fact, by age 60, roughly 1 in 4 women are taking an antidepressant. Fact, up to 50% of women who take an antidepressant have sexual problems. Today's topic, the science behind why antidepressants can sabotage your sex life and what you can do about it. I'm Dr. Lauren Stryker, a gynecologist, best-selling author, and a nationally recognized menopause expert. When it comes to menopause, midlife, and what comes after, I'm betting you've not gotten a lot of information from your own doctor. If women are given good information, they'll make good choices. And I'm here to give you the inside information. Of all the statistics I just listed, the one that really hit me was the fact that 25% of women over the age of 60 are taking an antidepressant. Granted, the loss of women's reproductive rights, climate change, and the assault on democracy are reasons to be depressed, but 1 in 4? In fairness, the sky-high number of midlife perimenopausal women taking antidepressants was a trend long before our current political problems. What you're about to hear is an excerpt from my upcoming book, Come Again, A Guide to Midlife Libido and Orgasm. Pre-order information is in the show notes. So what is it about perimenopause that causes profound mood changes? I can guarantee you it's not that anyone is overly sad about no longer having to deal with periods, tampons, cramps, or contraception. The mood changes that occur around perimenopause are biologic. The brain is loaded with estrogen receptors. The drop in estrogen during perimenopause and early menopause has a profound impact on many functions of the brain, such as temperature control, sleep, and mood. No surprise, perimenopause is a particularly vulnerable time for the onset of sadness and anxiety. In Dr. Lisa Mascani's book, The Menopause Brain, she explains that, quote, estradiol has a positive effect on serotonin, a mood-balancing chemical that promotes happiness and pleasure. It also happens to be nature's Prozac, delivering an antidepressant effect, end quote. In other words, when estrogen levels in the brain go down, serotonin levels also go down, and you lose your natural antidepressant. This at least partially explains why during perimenopause, there's a 4-fold increase in the risk of depressive symptoms and a 2.5-fold increase in the diagnosis of major depressive disorder. Serotonin's also thought to play a key role in thermoregulation. So it makes sense that women who have severe hot flashes are the same women who are the most likely to develop mood issues, anxiety, and depression compared to women who don't have hot flashes. Not just because the hot flashes are causing anxiety, but because the change in serotonin levels impact both mood and temperature control. And this also explains why antidepressants can help hot flashes, which brings me to the other reason that midlife women are taking SSRIs. 80% of perimenopause and early postmenopause women have hot flashes. Less than 10% take hormone therapy or anything else to alleviate those hot flashes. Since SSRIs and SNRIs have been shown to reduce the severity and number of hot flashes, they're commonly prescribed as an alternative to estrogen therapy in women who are not depressed, but they're flashing. This is particularly common in women with a breast cancer diagnosis. It's impossible to know how high those numbers are since most of these women are taking an SSRI off-label, meaning that while it's a legitimate use of an SSRI, it's not FDA approved for this purpose and the numbers are not tracked. There is one FDA-approved SSRI, Brizdel, that is prescribed to reduce hot flashes. Brizdel is low-dose paroxetine. When paroxetine is prescribed to treat depression, a typical dose is between 20 to 50 milligrams. Brizdel only has 7.5 milligrams of paroxetine, so it won't treat depression. It's too low, but it will help reduce hot flashes. And because it's so low dose, Brizdel has none of the typical side effects commonly seen in the higher doses of SSRIs that are used to treat depression. In clinical trials with the 7.5 milligram version, there was no weight gain. It had no impact on libido and no impact on orgasm. But since Brizdel is not always covered by insurance, a lot of women are given prescriptions for generic 10 milligrams of paroxetine as a substitute. And for a lot of people, that works out just fine. But even at 10 milligrams, some women start to experience weight gain and sexual problems. And Brizdel was formulated to be the lowest dose possible to avoid side effects, yet still give hot flash relief. And the dose that accomplished that was 7.5 milligrams. Now, women who have side effects using the 10 milligram are often told to cut it in half. But here's the problem. In clinical trials, 5 milligrams didn't do it. It didn't reduce hot flashes. So cutting your 10 milligram pill in half isn't going to cut it. What would work is if you cut your 10 milligram pill in half, and then you take half of those halves and cut them into quarters. I know. It seems like a lot of work, but you will end up with 7.5 milligram dose if you take a half and a quarter every day. The end result between treating mood changes and hot flashes is that the rate of antidepressant use for women doubles after age 40 from 10 to 20% and hits 25% by age 60. Of course, if women were given hormone therapy to treat perimenopausal mood changes, sleep, and hot flashes, most wouldn't need to take an antidepressant. And it's no coincidence that after the Women's Health Initiative was released and everyone flushed their estrogen down the toilet, antidepressant prescriptions skyrocketed and have continued to go up. So currently, there are millions of perimenopause women taking antidepressants, and many, if not most of them, have sexual side effects. The reason why SSRIs and other antidepressants lower libido and impact the ability to orgasm is the same reason why they alleviate depression. It all, again, comes down to serotonin. Low serotonin is associated with depression. High serotonin is associated with sexual problems. SSRIs increase the amount of circulating serotonin, which does a great job to alleviate depression and even helps with hot flashes, but it can kill your sex life. Now, the reason SSRI can cause problems, not just with libido, but also with orgasm, is not entirely understood, but it's probably related to diminishment of dopamine. Dopamine is another neurotransmitter, and dopamine stimulates the pleasure centers in the brain so that a reduction in dopamine impacts not only libido, but also the ability to orgasm. SSRIs are not the only antidepressants to cause problems. Antipsychotic drugs, lithium, tricyclic antidepressants, and MAO inhibitors are also on the list. Since the SSRIs are the most used and the most studied, in this episode, I'm going to stick with discussing SSRIs. Here's where it gets tricky. Up to 70% of women with depression have sexual issues, even if they're not taking an antidepressant. The alteration in dopamine and serotonin associated with depression is going to, in and of itself, impact libido, arousal, and the ability to orgasm. So if someone being treated for depression has no libido, is it the depression, the drug to treat the depression, or both? To further complicate things, this is a bi-directional problem, meaning women with sexual problems are more likely to be depressed. So is someone not able to orgasm because they're depressed, or is someone depressed because they're not able to orgasm, or is it because they're taking an antidepressant? The other factor is that lots of midlife women have sexual problems from causes that have nothing to do with their wavering serotonin or dopamine levels. Thyroid problems, cardiovascular disease, breast cancer diagnosis, vaginal dryness that cause sex to hurt like hell, insomnia, and all day, all night hot flashes are themselves associated with not only a loss of sexual desire, but also a loss of the ability to orgasm. So does the loss of libido in a 55-year-old woman stem from depression, from the antidepressant she's taking to treat the depression, painful sex, all of the above? Is your inability to have an orgasm because of vascular or neurologic changes from diabetes or cardiovascular disease that have decreased the sensitivity of your clitoral nerve endings, or from your Paxil, or both? Take Rochelle. Rochelle showed up in the Center for Sexual Medicine and Menopause because of a loss of libido and her inability to orgasm. In the last 6 months prior to her visit, her life pretty much had turned to hell. Days after her 48th birthday, her husband left her for the next door neighbor that he'd evidently been sleeping with for years. A And then this all coincided with the onset of perimenopause, hot flashes, anxiety, not sleeping. So she goes to see her internist to get a prescription for a sleeping pill because the insomnia was what was really, really getting in the way of her life. The internist says, "Of course you're not sleeping. You're a mess. You're about to get a divorce. You're going through menopause. You're depressed. You're anxious." So Rochelle walks out the door with a prescription for 20 milligrams of Prozac. A couple months later, her husband shows up and says, "I'm so sorry. I was an idiot. I don't know what I was thinking. I love you. Can I move back in?" Rochelle says, "Fine." He moves back in. And for the next week, they have a lot of makeup sex. Except for the first time in her life, she is completely unable to have an orgasm. Nothing works, not even her vibrator. So that's why she made an appointment at our center to get some help. So one of the nurse practitioners presented Rochelle's case at our weekly conference, and we all sat around talking about it and came up with the list of all of the potential reasons why she suddenly couldn't orgasm. And the list was pretty long, you know, depression, her antidepressant, her hot flashes, her insomnia, loss of estrogen. And oh yeah, maybe she was still just a little angry at her cheating, lying husband. So was it her antidepressant or all the other stuff? Well, I mean, usually timing is kind of helpful at figuring it out. If you're not able to orgasm within a few weeks of starting a new medication, it's a pretty good bet that the drug's the culprit. But in Rochelle's case, everything happened all at once, so it was really hard to say. We started her on hormone therapy, which meant she stopped flashing and started sleeping, and she was feeling so much better in general, she decided to stop taking her SSRI. And she started seeing a therapist who made her realize that she never liked her husband, even before she found out he was sleeping with the next door neighbor, and she was happy to now have a reason to tell him to move out. So over the next few months, her libido kicked back in, and she had no problem having an orgasm with her vibrator, who she decided was a lot more fun and much more low maintenance than any of the guys she'd started dating. So this is not only a true story, it's not an unusual story. We'll never know what caused her sexual issues, but my vote was everything. Scientific studies show a wide variation in exactly how many women have sexual problems because of SSRIs. It's all over the map. Some studies put the number really low, but in some studies, it's as high as 75%, especially in women who had sexual issues prior to starting the SSRI. The other question that comes up is if all SSRIs are equally bad when it comes to sexual side effect. And it turns out they're not. In a 2015 study, there were different rates of sexual dysfunction with different antidepressant drugs. Sertraline and trazodone were associated with the least risk of sexual dysfunction. Fluoxetine was associated with the most sexual dysfunction. So what are your options if you're taking an antidepressant and your sex life is non-existent? In up to 30% of women, the sexual side effects caused by an SSRI are temporary and things will be back to normal if you give it 4 to 6 months. So waiting it out, playing a lot of Wordle, reasonable option. Also, if your treatment is short-term, libido and your ability to orgasm will almost always return once you stop the drug. But if you're taking an SSRI and the sexual issues are persistent, there are other steps you can take. This is not a do-it-yourself project. You need to consult with the person who prescribed the SSRI before you start messing with it yourself. Sometimes just lowering the dose or trying a different SSRI will solve the problem. So again, talk to your clinician to see if that's an option. There are other antidepressants, such as bupropion, that are not associated with sexual side effects. So taking a different drug may be the answer. And then there's the concept of stopping it for just a couple of days a week. In a 2023 study, 50 women with sexual dysfunction due to their SSRIs were divided into two groups. Group one took the drug continuously. Group two took a drug holiday, meaning they skipped taking their drug on Thursday and Friday for each week in anticipation of the weekend. This was a small study and it only lasted 8 weeks and also makes the assumption that people only have sex on the weekends. But the group that took the drug holiday had significant improvement in arousal, desire, orgasm, satisfaction, lubrication, and overall sexual health. And none had an increase in depression. Some even had improvement in their mental health, which suggests that people that have satisfying sex have better mental health. Other studies have not been as convincing, so no guarantees on this one, but for some women, it may be an answer. A drug holiday, though, is not an option if you're taking fluoxetine, since the half-life is much longer than other SSRIs, and going off for a couple of days will not drop levels enough to make a difference. Another approach some psychiatrists recommend is to schedule sex when the drug is not peaking. So theoretically, if you take your SSRI when you go to sleep and have sex in the evening before you take it, you won't have as much of a problem. If you take your SSRI in the morning, have sex at night. Not well studied, but it is one of the suggestions that's floating out there. And if you're one of those women who is prescribed an SSRI because you were told that estrogen wasn't safe or not an option, in most cases, that's just not true. So see a menopause expert and you may be able to swap out your SSRI for hormone therapy. But if your SSRI is not going away and none of the above strategies help, the thing that seemed to make the most difference in my patients with a persistent inability to orgasm while using an SSRI was Viagra. Yeah, the pill that men take to help their uncooperative penis may be a magic pill for women who have SSRI-induced anorgasmia, so that popping a PDE5 inhibitor prior to sex will do the trick. I need to emphasize that sildenafil is only FDA approved for the treatment of erectile dysfunction in men, but it is used off-label to enhance the ability to orgasm in women, not just women who have problems because of an SSRI, but women who have problems in general. The results of these trials overall are inconsistent, but it turns out that one of the groups that it does seem to work in more consistently are women who are taking an SSRI. In an 8-week trial of 100 women with delayed or no orgasm due to their SSRI, 72% of women receiving sildenafil had improvement, compared to only 27% who received a placebo. Now, a lot of women who find that Viagra works for them decide that instead of taking Viagra on demand, they're going to go to a long-acting version, such as Cialis. There are no published trials on the long-term use of Cialis in women. The trade name of it is tadalafil. So while it is out there, it is being done. Don't have the data to support it. In episode 115, Viagra for Women, I get into the details of what you need to know if you choose to go the sildenafil route. But during that episode, I also mentioned a topical sildenafil cream, which is meant to be applied to the clitoris just prior to sexual activity to enhance arousal and the ability to orgasm. An FDA-approved sildenafil cream is currently in development with ongoing clinical trials. But guess which group of women is excluded from participating in those clinical trials? Correct. Women who are taking SSRIs who are unable to become aroused or have difficulty with orgasm are excluded. So will sildenafil topical cream help women who are not able to orgasm because of their antidepressant? Who knows? FDA approval for sildenafil cream is probably at least a year away, but you can get topical sildenafil by prescription through a compounding pharmacy. But I can't tell you if it's going to help. There's no data. But if you can get your hands on some, there's little harm in trying. And yeah, let me know. So I don't have the perfect solution if your SSRI has sabotaged your sex life, but at least there are a number of things you can try, like lowering the dose, timing when you take it, scheduling a drug holiday, and switching to another antidepressant, all things to discuss with whoever prescribed your SSRI, along with a prescription for Viagra. And while I'm mentioning things that have no data to support it, anecdotally, I've heard from more than one woman that a little cannabis goes a long way. I'm going to end with this one final thought. If you're taking an SSRI to specifically help with hot flashes and perimenopausal sadness and anxiety because you were told that estrogen is not safe, estrogen is not an option, in most cases, that's just simply not true. Millions of women are being prescribed antidepressants when hot flashes and perimenopausal mood swings could be treated much more effectively with estrogen. Estrogen will not sabotage the ability to orgasm, but will enhance your ability to orgasm. Estrogen won't kill your libido, it'll boost your libido. If you're taking an SSRI just for hot flashes and can't take hormone therapy or choose not to take hormone therapy, fezolinetant, the new non-hormonal hot flash drug, that should be your go-to. So if you fit into one of those categories, see a menopause expert and you may be able to swap out your SSRI for something that won't kill your sex life. Problem solved. You're welcome. I'm Dr. Lauren Stryker, and thank you for joining me. You will find lots more information in my Inside Information books available on Amazon.com. And follow Francie as she navigates her way through vaginal dryness, hot flashes, and pretty much every menopausal symptom you can think of.
I feel blue. She helped me see the light. Now I'm sleeping through the night. I find